One of the most important things a parent can do where the child is concerned is to teach the child how to be a mature, godly adult by saying things like, "I'm sorry, I was wrong."
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and it seems like that's one of the hardest things in life to say. Not so much I'm sorry, but I'm wrong.
Is it hard for women to say?
I was going to say, is it hard for men to say?
Oh, it's very hard for men to say. It's not in our DNA to say it. To say I'm sorry, I was wrong, that isn't in my vocabulary. I had to learn to say that.
I don't know if it's a gender thing.
I think there's a macho gender thing, but pride's also part of it.
There's the female pride thing, so.
It's very interesting. My son Roby and I, he was 18 or 19. I can't remember exactly how old. We were doing a television interview a long time ago, and it was prior to Father's Day. It was a father-son type interview, and they were asking us father-son questions. And what's the thing, they asked Roby, what's the thing, if you could say one thing, what's the thing that most impressed you about your dad or that you remember most about your dad? And, you know, I'm hearing that question. I'm wondering where he's going to go with it. And Roby said, I guess the thing that my takeaway from my dad is he wasn't afraid to admit he was wrong or say he was sorry. And I thought, wow, of all the things, that's what you come up with. Of course, if you're Bob Barnes, you have to say that a lot in your life. But it was interesting. And he and I talked about it afterwards. He said, Dad, I just got friends whose dads would never say that. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. I mean, early in life, I realized I needed to do that. And I needed to admit I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And I think yet it's very, very hard in our culture to do that. And if I can't do that, and if I, as the leader, try to justify my behavior, even though it's wrong behavior, but I don't ever want to get caught saying I was wrong, how will I ever expect my children to do that? And let me say, you will never be a leader long. You will never be a leader long if you're not able to say I was wrong. How many times have we seen leaders? I'm thinking of Richard Nixon.
Wow.
If he would have stepped out and just said, you know what? We did do that thing called Watergate. I am sorry. We were wrong. And we did do it. I confess to that. He may have not had to walk out of the White House.
Yeah, yeah.
For our kids to learn that leaders aren't perfect, and so that when leaders make a mistake, they're able to say, I was wrong, and go the next mile, elicit a response from the other person, will you forgive me?
Mm. And it should be easy to say, I'm sorry if you're trained that way, but it's always going to be an issue, especially if you grew up in a home where nobody says, I'm sorry.
Mm.
It's almost impossible for you to ever say. You just go through the shame of knowing that everybody does know you did something wrong, but you'll never confess it. You'll just stay quiet and nothing gets resolved, nothing heals, and you don't look good anyway if you don't confess.
No, it's interesting watching a football game this weekend on television and watching a pass, the worthy passer, it was a disastrous pass, nowhere near the receiver, and watching him touch his chest and point to himself.
Wow.
He's looking at the receiver and basically saying, my bad. They won the game. You know, that's the leader you want. Okay,
yeah.
We're allowed to make mistakes. You admitted to your mistake. We will never build a team if the leader of all people can't say, I was wrong. My bad. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I made a mistake here. I was wrong. And in the heat of parenting and in the heat of just the stress and everything, when all of a sudden as a parent, you realize you've said something too loudly to your child, or you've said something too critically to your child, or you've violated the passage in Ephesians that says, don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's going to come out. And so I'll never lead. I'll never garner the respect of my children if I can't admit that was wrong. What I just said there was wrong. What I just did there was wrong. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
How come then? What do you say then to parents who think, well, if I keep telling my kids that I'm wrong, you know, that's just not good leadership to my kids. I mean, they're going to think that I'm always wrong then.
Well, there's an interesting thing about saying you're wrong and deciding before God when I'm wrong, I'm going to admit I'm wrong. I will be slow to speak and quick to listen.
That's hard. You see, that's hard enough to do already.
Yes, but when you have to go, you know, slow to get angry, slow to speak, and quick to listen. The passage in James says, when you know that every time I'm wrong, I'm going to, Father, this is my commitment to you, admit to my kids, I was wrong there. Will you forgive me? It makes you slow down a little bit. I hate saying I was wrong. I hate being in that situation. So when I find myself having to apologize for being wrong, I find myself slowing down and thinking a little bit more before I make these quick decisions. I find myself becoming less a dictator and more a leader. Dictators just fire things out. Mm-hmm. You know, Pharaoh, the number of things that Pharaoh said to Moses without thinking about it, I'll never do that. Your people will never leave here. You're never going to come before me again. Mm. If I see you again, you're dead. And as it turns out, he spoke that on himself. He ends up dying in his inability to say, I was wrong. Leaders are able to say, I was wrong. Managers and dictators don't think they have to, but real leaders, you can hand somebody a position, but you can't hand them leadership. Mm-hmm. They've got to take leadership and be leaders. Leaders are able to admit they're wrong, and leaders know they need to train the generation behind them that's going to lead behind them to say, I was wrong. It's interesting that the farmer knew that. His kids were watching him. Hey, I made a mistake there. I was wrong there. Because I'm turning this farm or this general store or Padrino's restaurants over. Mario's got all these kids and all these restaurants, right? And Mario Padrino. And so, my kids are watching me. Mm-hmm. And I want them to be great leaders. Mm-hmm. But so often what we do is we never admit we're wrong. And then we hear our kids erupting in a soccer game at a coach and not being able to go back and say, I was wrong. Coach, I'm sorry for what I said out there. I was wrong. Or erupting at somebody and losing a position and losing a situation or losing respect or losing followers of the rest of the team because they can't do it. They can't do it because they didn't see it done. See, something like this is really an important family leadership meeting. Mm-hmm. That's where a husband and a wife sit down and make a statement. You know, I believe this is important to teach character. You know, blessed are the meek. I believe it's important for us to back up and be strong enough, not weak, strong enough to learn to say to my children, when I'm wrong, I need to tell you. And I'm sorry, I was wrong there.
Mm. Now, you've heard of the book, The Five Love Languages, right?
Yes,
Gary Smalley,
yes,
I think. He also came out with one, The Five Languages of Apology. There's different kinds.
I don't think it's Smalley, but yes, go ahead.
Okay. Whoever it is wrote that book, and I have it. I haven't even read it yet, but I thought it was very interesting, though, that there are different forms then of saying, I'm sorry. Some people think it's an action you can act and do something. Others, I know that even some parents feel guilty they did something wrong, so they take their child and go shopping.
No, that's a bribe. That's called a bribe right there.
Why? Explain that.
Because they did something wrong and they should correct it rather than take their children shopping for their bad. I need to teach a couple of actions here. One of them, it's interesting, the church I'm filling in at right now, we did the Lord's Supper. We did communion, the Lord's Supper this past weekend, and we spent a long time beforehand. There are times when you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper, and you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper when you're out of fellowship with somebody and you haven't dealt with it yet, or out of fellowship with God because of sin. Mm-hmm. And it even says that there was a church in Corinth that took the Lord's Supper and people hadn't gotten themselves right and got sick from it. That this is a worship expression. It's not something on the calendar. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons that I need to teach my children, this is something that you say to another person. There's an action that needs to be behind it. You need to mean it and you need to work at correcting it from this point on. But I want to teach my children these very difficult words rather than acting like nothing happened and being real nice. Okay, I'm acting like nothing happened, like I didn't, but I'm going to be real nice to you. I need to, number one, for my relationship with God, go back to this person and do a Matthew 18, or my child, for that matter. My child should not be a non-human being. Mm-hmm. My child is this human being who I may have offended with a comment by being overly and ridiculously critical. So before God and before this person, but I also need to do another thing. I need to teach the concept and the reality and the action of forgiveness. I need to ask them to forgive me. Mm. And I need to say, I'm very sorry for what I said. And what I said the way I said it was very, very wrong. I'm very sorry that I told you I would be here. And I can give you all the reasons and all the excuses, but I wasn't here and I owe you an apology. I'm very sorry for what I did. And then I need to take it the next step. I need to say I'm sorry. But then I need to elicit a response from them and say, will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. Will you forgive me? And we need to wait.
Yeah.
I need to teach that children
the
process.
The response is not your responsibility, but it is your responsibility to ask.
That's
for
exactly
right.
That's exactly right. We're teaching so much here, but we're also teaching in relationship. And the closer the relationship is, the more the conflict is going to be there, and the more intense the relationship. Husbands and wives.
Well,
that's
what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to. I know there's a count somewhere of how many times I've had to apologize to Rosemary, and because they say everything is recorded in heaven, is written down everything we say. So yeah, the number of times, but I'm to keep a clean slate rather than get historical and build up this thing that explodes. Mm. I'm very, you know, Rosemary, I'm very sorry I was abrupt there. I was very abrupt, and I'm very sorry for that.
And would you apologize even to the kids if you had said something abrupt to Rosemary?
Absolutely. If the kids were there, and kids, you were there and you saw it and you heard it or across the table, and I apologize to you, you should not have to hear that coming from me. That shouldn't happen.
If only all parents could do that.
Well, it's hard to do. And if you have my temperament and my personality, and let's just call it what it is, my pride, I hate doing that. Mm-hmm. And so when I hate having to apologize, it helps me. There's its own form of self-punishment and self-correction here. I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, I do, help me. I do want to be slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I need to listen to is you, Lord, in this process. So I think there's so much in not just the restoration of the relationship with the person, restoration of the relationship with God, but there's also so much in the teaching of the lesson to forgive and ask for forgiveness mm-hmm. before God and before this person.
Well, it's a challenge, though, to get kids, though, to mean it sometimes. I mean, you've got these children that play around. One playing around punches the other, and you have to say, well, Bobby, you need to apologize to Mary. And he's like, I was playing. Mary's crying. She wants you to punish Bobby, you're stuck and you're thinking he was playing around. Bobby, you need to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But they're kids.
They get older, it gets a little complicated.
We're processing with the words now. I've got a 2.5-year-old grandson, and we had him last night, and he wanted something, and Rosemary keeps saying, say please, please, say, and he's learning the process that before you do the request, you put the word please in there. Mm-hmm. And when you get it, you say thank you, and as we hand it to him, whatever it is he wanted, and he takes it and doesn't say thank you, and we reach back for it, and he learns right away, oh, thank you. Mm. There's a process here, but before we get in their head and their heart, there's a process that we're teaching. But if we don't do it, if they never see us do it, if they never see this is what adults do, why should we ever expect them to do it? Mm-hmm. And if they don't do it, if you're not able to apologize, if you're not able to say you were wrong, if you're not able to say, will you forgive me, you will never get deeper in a relationship, because the more intimate the relationship, the more you're going to have to say that. You know, honey, Rosemary, I'm very sorry for that. I'm very sorry for the way that came out of my mouth. I didn't mean it like that. You know, we were just whatever. It's just like the child. We were just playing and one got hurt. It's just like us. We were just talking and it got a little heated and one got hurt. Mm-hmm. We have to learn the process, and it starts at an early age. And if you've got a child who you say, you know, you need to go to apologize to your sister, I will go with you, or you need to go. And if they're not able to go to apologize, they need to sit down until they're able to, because it's not just their sister they're restoring the relationship with. They're practicing relationship. Mm-hmm. Not only are keeping a clear relationship with God, but a clear relationship with other people.
And humility, too. I mean,
and
intimacy, too. You get into a marriage, the better your marriage is, the easier it should be to say, I'm sorry about things, the better your marriage will be. Because then you can accept, okay, we mess up. You're going to say, I'm sorry. I'm going to say, I'm sorry. We keep moving on. But how do you get that to your kids? How do you get them to want to say that?
I think they see it in us. They need to see it in us, and they need to hear it in us, that I don't only say it to her, I say it to my children. And they begin to get a retuning of what leaders do. This is what leaders do. Leaders don't find it difficult to do this. And even sometimes leaders, I remember in our church, I remember at Calvary Chapel, I remember one time when something, while Pastor Bob was on vacation, something took place during the services. And he got back and found out that it took place during, so it wasn't a horrible thing, but mm-hmm. something took place. And he went into the pulpit, and as the leader, took the heat for it and said, I'm sorry for what we were selling in the lobby. I'm sorry for that this happened. This will never happen again. Come back and get your cash. Come back and get your checks. We've canceled your credit card things. And I had a friend, it was the first time he was ever in that church. And Glenn said, this is my church. I just can't believe he wasn't even here. And he took the heat for that as the leader and apologized. I'm asking you to forgive us. That reverberated throughout the whole community. It was one of the most major statements. Now, I know Pastor Bob wants to think his sermons are the most major statement, but that was a great sermon. Mm-hmm. That was an incredible sermon. That's what leaders need to do. But we didn't grow up in those homes, or we grew up with anger, or our dads left, and we're trying to fumble through what it means to be a leader, and we watch these guys on television, watch these guys in the movies. One of the greatest things we can do for our kids, admit when we're wrong. Admit it. Put it on the table. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Get a response from them. You know, will you forgive me? I forgive you, Dad. Well, I hope you do, because I really was wrong there. And then move on, because you're also teaching children, once you forgive somebody, you do move on.
Yeah.
And so we need to help our children not only with learning relationships here, but learning relationships with God. Mm. And part of that is, when you're wrong, admit it.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. We've been going down a list of 30 imperatives to parenting today, tackling number 27. But if you miss part of today's or any of the list, you can listen to them all over again at parentingonpurpose.org. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you would like to find more resources to help you in your parenting journey, even to help your marriage, Dr. Bob, even his wife, Rosemary Barnes, have joined together to offer many resources, and all the proceeds go to help the children's homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries. You can find them all at shfm.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for number 28. We're going to be talking about applauding effort and good choices here on Parenting on Purpose.